Grace and peace are yours from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The text of our sermon this morning is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, reading from chapter 3. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. The mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. This is the word of the Lord. In the book of Isaiah, the Lord says, "As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways above your ways." In the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul, at the end of chapter 11, said, "Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor?" So the Lord in his word describes his relationship to us. He's up there, we're down here. He's the creator of everything. He controls all things. And if the Lord wants to talk to us, it's going to have to be on his terms. So he does it. He does it through his word. That's how the Lord has chosen to communicate with the people of this world, by his almighty word. The only way that we get information from God is by listening to his word. He's going to have to interpret it for us. He's going to have to tell us what it means. And in that word, God reveals to us his plan of salvation. God reveals his grace to us. It's nothing that we're going to be able to figure out or get by our own investigation. It's going to come from God and his word. Because that's the only source of salvation, the devil, who is the enemy of everything that is good and godly, does everything he can to attack it. He's been very successful. In the Christian church today, you will find great variety among people who profess to be Christians when it comes to what they believe about the Bible. People believe very different things about baptism, about communion, about this world and its origin. People believe different things about Jesus. They believe different things about his return and what's going to happen before his return. That's why you have all different Christian denominations, because people believe different things. It's not the problem with the Bible. It's not that God is unclear. It's that the devil and sinful human beings just don't listen when God chooses to communicate with us. It's always been that way in his church. Even after Jesus ascended back to heaven and those first disciples received direct instruction from the Lord himself, they still really wrestled with doctrinal issues. Back in the early New Testament church, the main issue was doctrinal, but it was specifically about people. And the issue is this: what is the relationship between the Jewish believers and the Gentile believers? The Jewish believers were saying that Gentile believers had to kind of jump through certain hoops or to become a little bit more Jewish, and then they could really be in the church. It was a major doctrinal issue, caused divisions in that early Christian church. Way back in the beginning, when God created Adam and Eve, he did not create them a certain race or nation. They were not from the nation of Israel. They were human beings. And when those two human beings sinned, they brought sin into this world to all the human beings of this world. When God promised a Savior for Adam and Eve and for all humans, it wasn't specific to one group of people that could be saved. Jesus was the promised Savior for everyone. Now God in his wisdom decided to run that line of the Savior through the nation of Israel. And so he called a man by the name of Abraham, called him to faith, and called him to be set apart, to be the father of the nation of Israel. Through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, God established his people. And from those people, Jesus came. So we can trace the human line of Jesus all the way back to Adam. It goes through the nation of Israel to Joseph and to Mary, but we have a very clear line of Jesus' lineage. In order to keep those people together, God also gave them some laws that set them apart as his people. Those laws kind of formed a fence around the nation of Israel. So you are my special people. But what the devil did is to use that special relationship those people had with the Lord to create in them some pride that caused him to look down on people who were not God's chosen people. When Jesus came, he made it clear with his ministry and his instruction that he was a Savior for everybody. He went first to the Jews, they were his people, but he never stopped going out to the Gentiles. He never stopped preaching to anybody who would listen. And when he went back to heaven, he made it very clear to his disciples, go and make disciples of all nations. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Jesus didn't want the separation between people based on their race or nation. He's the Savior for everybody. We enter into discussion here a man by the name of the Apostle Paul. Paul grew up a Jewish Pharisee, and that means he was a very strict observer of God's Old Testament law. And that law led Paul to look down on people who were not Jewish. He would have nothing to do with Gentiles, because he was set apart as one of God's chosen people. And then Jesus turned him. Then Jesus appeared to Paul as he was traveling to the city of Damascus and stopped him and blinded him and said, Paul, you're going the wrong way, and if you keep going the wrong way, you're going to be lost forever. Jesus revealed himself as Paul's Savior and then said, I'm choosing you to go to the Gentiles. I'm choosing you, the Apostle Paul, who is, your line is from the Hebrews and from the nation of Israel. I'm sending you out to the Gentiles. Who would have thought of doing it that way? But the Lord did. The Lord chose this apostle to bring the gospel to the nations. Very clearly today, that's our mission too, to bring the gospel to the people of this world. The gospel is a mystery to the people of this world. It was a mystery to us before God opened our eyes to see Jesus as our Savior. We could never have found our way to God. We could never have been good enough. But God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And God loved us so much that he chose us to be saved. And he made sure we heard the gospel. And he worked faith in our heart. He revealed that mystery to us and has entrusted us with it. So what do we do? What do we do as his people? We share it with the world. We share this message of grace. We go out and tell anybody who will listen. The Apostle Paul, in these verses from Ephesians, makes it clear that he and us, the church today, have been entrusted with this mystery, that God has saved us by his grace, and we're called to proclaim it to the world. The Apostle Paul had a really incredible story about how God changed him and brought him to faith. Earlier in the book of Ephesians, he had talked about it in an interesting way, and he described everybody being dead in sin but being made alive in Christ. Paul also told that story whenever he had the opportunity. how God had saved him by his grace. And having been saved by God's grace and having an understanding of that grace means Paul lived in that grace and he talked about it. And that's what he does in these opening verses of this chapter. Paul says, in reading this, you'll be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members of one body, sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel with the gift of God's grace, giving me through the working of his power. The mystery that Paul revealed was a unity among people who believe in Jesus as their Savior. This was new for the Jewish Christians. This was new to invite other people in and to have no regulations, no laws for them to follow. In the Old Testament, the gospel was for everybody, but if you wanted to worship with the people of Israel, you had to change. You had to follow their laws and adopt their customs in order to be accepted. In the New Testament, that was done with. You didn't have to eat certain foods, you didn't have to be circumcised or worship a certain way. The mystery was they were all together. What a beautiful gift that was, a gift of God's grace. That's what encourages us to go out and do mission work, because we understand, right? We get that the gospel is for everybody in this world. We've heard Jesus commission to his church countless times, go and make disciples of all nations. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. We're sharers together of that gospel treasure, that mystery that God has made known to us. That gospel is the source of our comfort. It's a comfort we have to share. Now, we understand that. We believe that, and we practice that. But when it comes to us personally, it can be a bit of a challenge. It can be a bit of a challenge because people are just different. And sometimes those differences, especially across cultures, can make it difficult for us to share this mystery of the gospel. Let me give an example. Recently, my family and I visited with a family from a different culture. And not only was it a different culture, there was a different language that this family grew up in. So English was their second language. So as we were meeting with them and talking with them and having a meal with them, they were speaking to us in English, but when they talked to each other, that was in their own language. And so imagine having a conversation with somebody in English, and then they go have a conversation with a family member in a different language. You just wonder, what am I missing? Or how is this being perceived and what I'm saying to him? There's a lot of, it's just uncomfortable. Because it's not what we're used to. The devil's good at taking those differences and causing us to maybe view people differently. Or to think if they want to be part of the church, they really got to be like us, so I know how to talk to them. That's not the way this mystery of the gospel works. It's not a human invention. It's not up to our wisdom to make this work. It comes from God to us. We can't figure it out on our own. People in this world generally believe there's one God, somebody up there. But people in this world often think that if you want to get to God, you got to find your own way. And sometimes that's popular even among Christians. Or you got to find out what works for you and your cultural background might be different than what works for me. And there's this idea that God is up there on the top of the mountain and we got to find a way to get up there to him. It makes sense because we are different. We have different backgrounds and different experiences. We're all going to find our own little way to the Lord. But it's not what the Bible says. The Bible says if you step on God's mountain, you're going to die. because he's holy and perfect, and he cannot tolerate sin and sinners. And so if you're trying to get there with your own ideas and your own plans, you're going to fail all the time. The Bible also says that God did something that no one would have imagined. No one could have comprehended. God came off that mountain to be our Savior. God came here for us, to give his life for us so that we can have forgiveness. That's the mystery of God's grace, that God so loved the world, everybody in this world, that he gave himself. And through faith in his death and resurrection, we have complete confidence before God. God has communicated that message to us through his word. He's used the power of that word to convince us that it's true. And that word leads us to long for more, to want to learn more about all the great things God has done for us. This mystery, that as people, we are united through Christ Jesus, our Savior, no matter who we are. And we get to tell others. We get to carry it to the world. The Apostle Paul realized that this was his mission by God's grace. And so he did everything he could to bring this message of the gospel, this mystery, to the people of the world. It's what he was driven to do. It's why he went on mission trips, why he rounded up fellow missionaries to go with him to the places of Asia Minor and to the islands of the Mediterranean and to Greece and to Rome and maybe even to Spain. But it didn't always work the way Paul wanted it to work. His plan for mission work didn't always mesh up with what God had in mind. This book of Ephesians is a good example of that, because Paul wrote it from prison. In Paul's mission planning, I don't think there was a part of it that said, in 6 months, I'm going to be thrown in prison so I can do gospel ministry. I don't think that was in his plan, but that's what happened to him. And so what does he do? He could have said, Lord, why did you put me here? Why did you do this to me? And he might have been thinking that a little bit. What we do know is he wrote this letter to the Ephesians that beautifully lays out God's plan of salvation for all human beings. Because all were dead in sin. All have a Savior in Jesus, and that message is what gives life. Paul talks about how that spiritual life applies to each of our lives, in our marriages, in our relationships with one another, our life in this world as we are equipped with the armor of God. It's incredible that God took this terrible situation for the Apostle Paul and gave this great gift to his church, this letter to the Ephesians, where he reveals the mystery of the gospel and where he entrusts us with that mystery to bring it to our world. And so we go and do his work. We go and serve in this world where God has placed us as individuals, as a congregation, as a society. We reveal the message of the gospel. But it doesn't always go according to our plan. Right? The last year certainly demonstrated that. We never would have planned to do Easter Sunday entirely online. Yeah, that sounds like a great idea. But that's what happened. Sometimes we can become frustrated with the Lord. Say, Lord, why are you doing this to us? You've given us this mystery of the gospel. You've sent us out with it. Why don't you make it easier for us? Why don't you let all our plans prosper and work according to the way we think they should? God has something better in mind. The message of the gospel shows that. The example of the Apostle Paul is another illustration, and so is your life and my life. There's a hymn we sometimes sing when we talk about doing mission work. The hymn is, Hark the Voice of Jesus Crying. Who will go and work today? There's a couple of verses in that hymn that say something like this. Let none hear you idly saying, there is nothing I can do. While the multitudes are dying, the Savior calls for you. You have the mystery of the gospel. You can go out and share that. If you cannot speak like angels, if you cannot preach like Paul, you can tell the love of Jesus. Can say he died for all. Having that mystery, knowing where you're going to spend eternity, gives you joy and confidence, and you have an ally in your Savior as you do his work. The very last verse of this text, the Apostle Paul talks about that confidence and that freedom that we have to approach God with our prayers, and to know that he hears and answers us according to his good and gracious will. That's the message that God has chosen to communicate with us. That's the message that comes only through his word, that's a mystery to the sinful mind, but revealed in Christ Jesus. And we have it. And we're sent out with it. So looking ahead to 2021, are you optimistic? Are you excited about what this year will bring? Maybe you've been around a while, long enough to say, I don't know what's going to happen, but it's probably going to be as bad as this year. Something bad will happen. But as Christians, as people who know Jesus as our Savior and the eternity that he's promised us in heaven, we're extremely optimistic. Not because church is going to get back to normal, or our world is going to go back to the way it was, but because we know the grace of God that rescued us from hell. We know we live at peace with our Savior every single day of our life, even when we are really struggling to live in that peace. And we know that as we go out and tell others the good news about Christ, he's right there with us, working through that word to reveal salvation, just as he promised us. We've been entrusted with that message of the gospel. Going forward in the next year, may God comfort us with that message, and may God strengthen us with that message to be faithful stewards, proclaiming to the world the mystery that all people have a Savior in Jesus Christ, and through faith in him, will live together in heaven eternally. Amen.